Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to another special edition of Catenation Studios, where I have Yesenia Barragan and Enrique de la Cruz from Say San Diego to discuss their program. Enjoy. Everybody says, say something.
So my name is Yesenia Barragan. I am a resident of City Heights, born and raised. I went to school here at Rosa Monroe Clark Hoover High School, graduated class of 2011, and I actually currently work at a nonprofit here that's located in City Heights on El Cajon Boulevard and Van Dyke, which is Say San Diego. I'm here to share a little bit about the programs that we have to offer.
And just share with us first, what is Say San Diego and also what you do?
So the mission of the nonprofit, which just had its 50th year anniversary this year, is to, their mission is to partner with youth, adults, and families in communities to reach their full potential. Their vision is opportunity, equity, and well-being for San Diegans. So I've kind of tapped into the different organizations and programs that SAY has to offer, but that's currently what I'm doing. And I'm also a graduate social work student at the moment.
Okay. And yeah, just tell us about your involvement with SAY San Diego. Just how did that come about, since you mentioned that it's going to be 5 years since you've been there?
Yeah. So I graduated from San Diego State in 2017, and I was looking to tap into the social service nonprofit sector. And I had a friend that worked there for a school-based mental health program. She was going to be transferring to another program. So I was able to connect with her and get an interview for what used to be called EPSDT, which was Early Periodic Screening and Diagnostics Treatment Program, which is technically school-based mental health. I was a case manager. I worked alongside two clinicians. We did more intervention and preventative work along with case management and rehabilitation services with the kiddos. So I was helping them reinforce anything they were learning in therapy to kind of manage any behaviors that were going on that were impairing their ability to focus in school or in the household. So that was kind of like my first exposure to the field alongside outside of SAY. And that's kind of what guided me to currently wanting to lean more towards like the clinical side of social work. So outside of just SAY San Diego, I think as a direct service provider, it's a lot different where you think about like the nonprofit and the person that's doing a lot of the ground level work. Right. I think we're very compassionate, very committed to our families that we work with, you know, the children and families, and some of our programs that say also work with adults. I personally have met a lot of colleagues that are very passionate about community enrichment, supporting and empowering families that are going through difficult times. And I think that's something that, you know, I've taken away mostly.
And to you, what would you consider to be a big highlight of being a part of SAY San Diego?
I would say one of the big highlights is being able to work with the families. I've had a lot of interactions with folks in my own community that I've shared similar experiences with, so I'm able to connect with them in a whole different level. You know, it's been very humbling too to be a part of their experience and for them to be vulnerable and be willing to share what they're going through with a complete stranger. You know, that's probably one of my biggest highlights, especially working with all of my, when I worked with that adolescent program, that was like the best for me. And it's one that I miss a lot. Currently I'm working with pregnant and parenting teen mommies, totally different because, you know, I'm tapping into the whole child development baby, but it's like, it's still a privilege to be able to have these people that don't really know me just open up and share their stories and their vulnerabilities with me.
And are there opportunities for just people who just want to learn more about it to get involved in any way, shape, or form?
Yeah, so there's actually, right now that I know of, a lot of the programs to volunteer with SAY San Diego might be more on the community organizing component, but they're always open for donations, and you can find that on the saysandiego.org website. A lot of this money goes back to furthering the development of our programs and coming back to serving our communities. as of right now, like for volunteer experiences within more of like the internal programs, there's not that much of an availability for people to do that. On the community organizing component, there might be.
For you or anything that you could share about what could be coming up for Say San Diego in 2022?
For this year, I think we're all still just kind of adjusting to the pandemic. With the new variant, we have gone back to virtual visits, which is a total adjustment, at least for me, because I'm used to being in the same space as like the families I'm working with. It's a whole different vibe than it is over Zoom. Right now, it's just kind of in the works. We're hoping to have more in-person events, hopefully. During the summer, they typically have a fundraising event called Play for Say. Right now, the only other event that I would say is the City Heights Love Festival. So that's something that's in collaboration with Say and a bunch of other community organizations, including City Heights Rotaract, which I'm also a part of. We'll be there next month, February 12th, to pretty much celebrate all of the different cultures that we do have in City Heights. And there's going to be different entertainment, raffles, food vendors, resources. So that's probably one of the main events that I think is coming up.
That was Jacena Barragan, everybody. But to add more to the story of Say San Diego and learn more about it, here is Enrique de la Cruz. Hello, beautiful people of Catha Nation. I'm here with Enrique de la Cruz. And just want to say, hi, Enrique. How are you doing?
Pretty good, Alex. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just wanted to learn a little bit more about Say San Diego. I talked to Yesenia about it, and I just kind of want to learn more of like what you do in Say San Diego.
Yeah, thank you again, like I said, for having us. So my name is Enrique de la Cruz. I'm a community organizer in Say San Diego in the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Other Drugs Prevention Unit. What I do is I work with young people, youth, work with community health workers, which are called promotoras, and also work with trade schools, trade or vocational schools. An example of that is a training center for the iron workers, right? And they have training programs to help people get training, get paid while they're getting trained. And then what I do is support the students, apprentices, and the staff with resources to help them quit smoking, vaping, if they need other types of support regarding tobacco.
Okay, so Say San Diego kind of has like a lot of programs involved in. How did Say San Diego come about?
Wow, so Say San Diego started, I believe in its early 70s, like 71, I want to say. In fact, I think it is 71. It started with a handful of people. From what I hear, that just started, they were community folks, social workers that wanted to support youth, right? The needs that youth had. And that's really how it started. And then from there, it kind of got bigger and bigger. And they got organized and eventually it became an actual 501c3. For folks that don't know, that's the classification for nonprofit. So then it just grew bigger. And our programs range after school programs to family support programs with caseworkers, clinicians, case managers, to the stuff that Yesenia does with First Five, stuff that I do with working with youth to help them understand kind of substances out in the community, right? From anything from vapes to other types of drugs that are out there, but I focus mainly on tobacco just because tobacco is still very prevalent, you know, especially vaping amongst young people. I help to provide information, trainings, but also try to get out there and support, you know, people that are trying to do better for themselves and in training centers and you know, furthering their education as well too. So Say San Diego was a big agency. I've been here for 5 years. I like it. You know, I think it does great work. I try to network kind of like what you do, right? I try to network with different folks in the community, different spaces, find those, and then reach out to other people that need support and try to build bridges. So I think what Say San Diego does, it has a great source.
I wanted to learn, you know, what was your experience like working with the youth, different types of youth in the community?
Here in City Heights, I work with a youth group called ACT, Advocates for Change Today. And they're a group of teens primarily that works on issues of substance use, like for example, vapes, but they also learn about other stuff, right? There's anything still from like things like alcohol and how, I mean, not just the laws, but how it can affect them as they're growing up, or the social impacts that it can have, right? And also like difficult, strong drugs like fentanyl, which is very dangerous right now, very prevalent. But those teens learn about that information and then get to share it with others, right? The work is public health, so it helps them tremendously with building up their resume, you know, for college apps later on. Even if they choose to do something else besides public health, it's a way to get out the information and for them to build leadership skills, you know. So we have a really cool group Meets Wednesdays at 4:30 here in City Heights on Alcohol Boulevard by the Y across the street.
As I see you get involved with the youth and you see the program gets involved with the family of these youth, and just tell me that experience, like just kind of like relating to this family that you're working with.
Yeah. So the way that the work connects is that we have the youth, you know, and they learn, but then sometimes we have families that come into our Family Resource Center here in City Heights. And so they need support. Maybe they're going through issues where they're not, the parents aren't quite connecting with their teens. Something's going on. There's issues at home, a variety of issues, right? And what happens is that we have trained and certified clinicians or case managers that can support them in finding those resources. So it goes hand in hand. We've had, you know, parents that come in and say, I need support for my teen, looking for an activity for them to join. So if they want to, they can always, you know, show up to our meetings. There is an application process only so we can have, you know, have things documented that they are part of the group. And it also helps them build community service hours, right? Or get gift cards, you know, as a way to say thank you for what they do and the participation. But we always try to connect, for example, the youth that are involved, or the youth need support, and make sure the parents know. The more we can connect with the parents, the better it is, because they know their teen, you know, is involved in something that's really positive and it's going to help them.
And that's actually cool to know, because I know a lot of programs that involve with the youth, there's a lot of moments where not everybody interacts with the parents. So I appreciate that, to know that you guys are the ones that do that.
Yeah, we try because, and it's, you know, it's difficult because, you know, parents work, they have to sustain the household and they have to, everybody be good, especially during these times, you know, when sometimes work is there, sometimes it's not. But we try to be supportive and also as an agency would say, you know, express to our youth that they need support, not just, you know, with us, with our program, but they need support finding resources or, you know, as far, there's so many programs here in City Heights, like, you know, if they need support as far as falling behind in the rent, there's programs that they can support them with that, dealing with a landlord that may be having issues. There's different resources and it doesn't always have to be us, right? Provide that, we can always channel them and connect them, refer them to those programs. It's so important. I mean, you know, Alex, like here in City Heights, like, the need is great, but the services are out there. We just have to kind of connect them and be those links, right? Like kind of like what you're doing right now and being able to share that information, because we never know, right? You can help somebody that may be in need, even if we ourselves don't need it right now, and say, I'm good. Guess what? Somebody, you know, our neighbor might need it. Our friend might need it, you know, or our DM might need it. We're definitely here to work with you, community members. Office is on Alcohol Boulevard and Van Dyke. Kind of, you know, I was saying across the street from the Y. So if anybody needs support, they can stop by or look us up online, you know, sandiego.org.
And that was it for Enrique de la Cruz and Yesenia Barragan. Thank you both for being a part of this podcast. Really appreciate it. And it's a great way to spread the word about Say San Diego and the cause of Say San Diego, what it does for people, youth in particularly. It's been a pleasure to have both of you, and I was so happy to learn a lot about Say San Diego. And to learn about Say San Diego, visit their website, saysandiego.org. Also, Saturday, February 12th, 2022, is the City Heights Festival of Love, located at Jeremy Henwood Memorial Park, 3795 Fairmount Avenue, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. I myself will be there representing City Heights Rotaract, so we'll see you there. And that's going to be it for this podcast of Catenation Studios. Next week, we're going to move to Mondays for a special Valentine's Day podcast featuring Krisha from Gay Monologues, as we both tackle Valentine's Day from two different yet similar perspectives. We'll see y'all next week. We are Catenation. Mami, somos polo positivo y negativo. A la flecha de Cupido siempre me la esquivo. Tenemos secreto, guardado en el archivo. No va a haber confianza si contigo convivo. Thank you all for listening to this Catenation Studios podcast. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at WeAreCatenation. And to continue to listen to awesome podcasts like this one, go to WeAreCatenation.Buzzsprout.com.